we're going to be talking about the excellencies of God today, just real quick here. And if you want to turn in your Bibles to First Peter 2:9, and I've got the primary passages that we're going to look at here. We'll be out of 1 Peter 2:9, and then we'll be in 2 Corinthians 5. And so if you want to bookmark 2 Corinthians 5, we'll go there. But I just want to get some thoughts here for these two passages, and then together I have a thought from the Spirit of what he wants us to do together as a congregation. 1 Peter 2:9 says this: "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." This is an imaging status of God's people. That this royal priesthood idea comes from the Israelites back in Exodus when they received the law, that their original purpose, their original mission was to be a royal priesthood set aside for the Israelites to go and be God's first evangelist to the nations, to proclaim the excellencies of God, to proclaim the excellencies of God, that when he brought them out of Egypt and delivered them from that land of slavery, they were supposed to be a kingdom of priests before the Lord to declare his excellencies to the people, to the nations around them, so that when the nations saw the people of Israel, they would want what the Israelites had. They would want to forsake their gods and come to Yahweh. But what we see here, by the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ, this royal priesthood that was once for Israel is now being offered to all people who call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what a priesthood is a body of priests. It's a fraternity, so to speak. It's a body of priests. But this is a royal priesthood, a kingly priesthood. Priests who serve and minister to the king themselves. And what we see here, that this chosen royal priesthood that believers are called to be are meant to proclaim the excellencies of God who called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light. That word proclaim means to celebrate. That the role of a kingly priest, a kingly body of priests, that believers are called to be, when we're proclaiming the excellencies of God, means that we are celebrating the excellencies of God, to celebrate it and declare it abroad, to celebrate who God is, to celebrate his attributes, to celebrate his character. And that's what the excellencies mean. The excellencies of God are his glory, his power, his purity, his righteousness. We celebrate those attributes and characteristics of God, whether that's privately in our own prayer chairs, our own prayer closets, wherever it is that you are sitting and being alone with the Lord, or whether you're out and about, to celebrate God's power, his righteousness, his glory. Are our hearts in a worshipful, celebratory sense that when we come before the Lord and we're celebrating his excellencies because of what he did, that we were once in a kingdom of darkness and he transfers to the kingdom of light. Colossians 1 says the same thing. Guys, I think it's something important for us as we kind of think about the culture that we're in. You've got two groups of people when it comes down to it. You've got the saved and the unsaved. In Colossians, you've got the kingdom of darkness, or you've got the kingdom of Jesus. You've got either the kingdom of darkness or you've got the kingdom of God. There is no in between. And sometimes we think that, we hear people say, I don't live neither for God nor for Satan. I live for myself. I have my own kingdom. I have my own. I live for me. That's their illusion. Nobody lives for self. Nobody is king of their own castle or king of their own kingdom. You're either in the kingdom of darkness or you're in the kingdom of heaven. There is no in between. And we're going to go there because Jesus himself made that distinction when in the last days he separates the sheep from the goats. That there is no in between. But this is what, but Christ in his cross, he's inviting us to be his royal priesthood, to be his body of priests that minister to him. And part of we ministering to God is to celebrate his excellencies, his attributes, his glory, his power, his righteousness, his moral excellence. And guys, I would continue to challenge you in this. That in our private prayer chairs, in the privateness of our own homes, pray back the excellencies of God, who he is. God, you are holy. You are righteous. You are morally excellent. You are powerful. You are these things. You're all knowing. You're all this. You know, just like, and when my experience is when I do that, the stress, the anxiety, the tension that I feel, the chaos of the moment, it dissipates because I'm praying back who God is. I'm praying back to him, his excellencies, and I'm celebrating those things back to him. And there's some things that were being mentioned in the testimonies. That's all part of renewing our mind that was mentioned earlier. To be in the Word of God, to renew our mind. When we pray back the excellencies and celebrate the excellencies of God, we're renewing our mind and who God is as his royal priesthood, as his body of priests. I want to encourage you today. This is going to be an identity type of devotional here. You are, as a believer, a member of the royal priesthood. And this is what you get to do. To pray back and to celebrate the excellencies of God. Let's go ahead and look at 2 Corinthians 5. I'm going to look at 20 through 21. And we're going to take a look at another form of identity that God has given his people. This is going to be a familiar passage for a lot of us. It says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So as believers, we're a part of the royal priesthood, the priests that minister directly to our King, celebrating his excellencies. But we are also, in this passage, ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Okay, this is, you know, because we're part of a kingdom, we're part of the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is a type of government, right? And so with a government, you've got ambassadors. Ambassador is a government or like a political term. And we know what ambassadors are, at least in general here. We know that it's a diplomat. An ambassador is someone, an individual, who represents a country into another country. It's a representative of a country to another country. This ambassador speaks on behalf of the country that he's from. He promotes the values and principles of that country to the country that he's in. And so when we are ambassadors for Christ, we speak and promote the kingdom of God in this world as we declare the excellencies of God, as we celebrate them. The ambassadors speak on behalf of the one who sent him. So if an American ambassador is sent by the President of the United States to go into Canada to go and do a dealing with the Canadian government, the ambassador speaks on behalf of the President and of the United States, promoting the values of that country to that kingdom or to that country. But get this, how that ambassador is treated, made fun of, laughed at, or even well received, it's not a reflection on what the country thinks of that ambassador. It's a reflection on what that country thinks of the one who sent him. Because an ambassador is a mouthpiece and a representative, the diplomat of a higher sovereign, to represent that higher sovereign. And we are ambassadors for Christ. We speak on behalf of Christ, and we represent his kingdom in this world that is not our home. This is our foreign country right here. Our real citizenship is in heaven, and we represent the kingdom of God and its king. Your words are a reflection of Christ. You speak on his behalf. And we live out the principles of his kingdom, the truths and values of his kingdom. And an ambassador, as we know, lives in an embassy or works in an embassy. And if we know what an embassy is, it's that governmental building that's in the country that the ambassador works in. So we'll keep Canada as our example. The United States embassy that's in Canada, yes, it's in Canada, but with embassies, when you walk on the property of the embassy, you're no longer in Canadian territory, you're now in American territory. It's a slice of the country in the foreign country, in the foreign land. So let's put this together. You're an ambassador. You're a diplomat for the kingdom of heaven. You're a mouthpiece for Jesus. You're part of his royal priesthood. You celebrate his excellencies. Think about the embassy that God has given you to work in, to live in. As his ambassadors, we can use Alive Vineyard here. As a congregation of ambassadors for Christ, Alive Vineyard here, it's an embassy for the kingdom of heaven. That when people come to a live vineyard, are they stepping into kingdom territory? Are they stepping into property of the kingdom of God? This is where heaven touches earth. This is where heaven meets earth. When God's people gather together in God's name, where he is in the midst, the embassy becomes where heaven meets earth. A live vineyard as an embassy of God's kingdom is a place where heaven meets earth, because his ambassadors come as a royal priesthood, a body of believers who are proclaiming and celebrating the excellencies of God. Is your home an embassy for the kingdom? Is your home where heaven meets earth? Where all who enter your home experience a glimpse of the kingdom? Is your workspace, your cubicle, your classroom, wherever it is that you work, that's your embassy. When people come to you and they interact with you as an ambassador, they are interacting with someone who represents Jesus and the kingdom of heaven, and they are in your embassy stepping into kingdom territory. It's your embassy that is anointed by the Lord where heaven meets earth. When Jesus came and he was in the Gospels and he was saying, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. All the miracles that Jesus was doing, the casting out of demons, the healing, the raising of the dead, were signs that the kingdom of heaven was here. And the kingdom of heaven is reversing the sin curse of the world. and the kingdom of heaven was supposed to be a snapshot of what a redeemed world looks like. What a restored world under God's kingship looks like. So when we are ambassadors for Christ, and we are living and working in our embassies where heaven meets earth, are we as God's people, as part of his royal priesthood, ministering and loving on God directly? Are we snapshots of his kingdom that points to a redeemed and restored world? Do people experience what a snapshot of a restored world looks like? Through you as an ambassador and a part of his royal priesthood, declaring, celebrating the excellencies of God. Worship is not supposed to be drawl and dab and an automatic. It's supposed to be a celebration. It's a party. It's celebratory. And we're seeing that today. Hear my heart here, guys. The Lord is here. And he wants to renew you. He wants to refresh you. He's called you to be his kingdom of priests, his ambassadors. And so as we look to kind of wrap this up here, I want us to stand together. And what I want us to, as a kingdom of priests today, as ambassadors gathered in one body, I want us to read through these passages together. And we're going to declare the excellencies of God through these passages together. We're going to celebrate God through these passages together. It's going to be a continuation of what we've been doing. But we're going to pray back to God who he is. So stand with me. If you have a Bible with you or a phone, wherever. But we're going to start off in Isaiah 6, 1 through 3. And we're just going to read this out loud together. You can follow along, or you can just read it silently to yourself as we all read. But this is Isaiah's vision of God on his throne. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Let's turn to Daniel 7, 9 through 10. "And as I looked, thrones were placed, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was fiery flames, its wheels were burning fire. A stream of fire issued and came out before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven there came one like a son of man. And he came to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom one that shall not be destroyed." Let's turn to Revelation 4, 6 through 11. "And around the throne, on each side of the throne, are four living creatures full of eyes in front and behind. And the first living creature like a lion, the second living creature like an ox, the third living creature with the face of a man, and the fourth living creature like an eagle in the flight. And the four living creatures, each of them with six wings, are full of eyes all around and within. And the day and night they never cease to say, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. And whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who is seated on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who is seated on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "Worthy are you, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they existed and they were created." Turn one chapter over, Revelation 5. And between the throne and the four living creatures and among the elders, I saw a lamb standing as though it had been slain, and with seven horns and with seven eyes, and with which are the seven spirits of God set out in all the earth. And he went and took the scroll from the right hand of him who was seated on the throne. And when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals. For you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth." Then I looked and heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might, honor and glory and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea and all that is in them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory, might forever and ever. Amen." Psalm 86:8, and we're going to tie it all together. "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor are there any works like yours." These are the excellencies of God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The Ancient of Days, sitting on a fiery throne, surrounded by thousands upon thousands and myriads upon myriads, the Heavenly Father. And then you see one like a Son of Man approaching the Ancient of Days. Son of Man, Jesus. When Jesus refers to himself as Son of Man in the Gospels, it's taken right out of Daniel 7. The Son of Man approaching the Ancient of Days to receive the kingdoms and glories and all the worship and all the power from the nations and receiving worship from them. It's Jesus who is approaching the Ancient of Days to receive that kingdom. And then we see the Lamb who was slain, paralleling Daniel 7, the Lamb that was slain, who was worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because of his completed work on the cross. These are the excellencies of our God. Psalm 86:11, "There is none like you among the gods, O Lord, nor who can do any work like yours." The cross is the pinnacle of the greatest work that God has done. Because we go back to 2 Corinthians 5, "He who knew no sin became sin so we could become the righteousness of God." When Jesus was hanging on the cross, all of the sins that you and I have, from the very first sin of Adam and Eve to the very last sin before it's destroyed, it gets all transferred onto Jesus, as we sang about. And all the sins and all the junk and all the garbage and all the filth that we have got transferred onto Christ. And God the Father did not punish Christ as if he were just a sinner. He punished Christ because of all the sin being transferred onto him. He punished his Son as if he were the sin itself. He who knew no sin became sin, so we can become the righteousness of God. So we can become that kingdom priest that celebrate his excellencies and speak and proclaim his kingdom. And that whenever people, wherever we are, wherever we work, our embassy is the intersection of heaven. That's what Christ has done on our behalf by becoming the sin that you and I have committed. How can Jesus ever relate to me because I'm a porn addict or I'm an alcoholic or I'm this or I'm that? He doesn't know what I've been through because he's God. He became those sins. It was transferred onto him and he was punished by the Father. as if he were the sin of alcoholism, as if he were the sin of pornography, as if he were the sin of those things. He took it on for your freedom to be his ambassadors and to be with him for eternity. That's the greatest, that's what makes God the greatest God out of all the gods. It's that David is saying, there is no God among you. And that's why he's great. Because no other God became sin for his people and then purchased your redemption. Purchased your freedom so you can be an ambassador, so you can be a snapshot of a redeemed world that's supposed to look like. The kingdom of heaven through you is at hand, through the power of the Spirit. Let's pray together and let's proclaim the excellencies of God as one unified body of priests together, as a unified body of ambassadorial priests. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the finished work of Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, you are holy, holy, holy. You are worthy, Lord Jesus, to approach the Heavenly Father, the Ancient of Days of Daniel 7, to receive the glory and power and might, honor, riches, and blessings from the nations. You are worthy, Lord Jesus, to take the seal and or to take the scroll and to break its seals because of your finished work on the cross, because of your total obedience to the Father's will. Heavenly Father, great are you. There is no God that compares to you. The principalities of this world pale in comparison to you. They will be judged by you. They will be brought to an end by you. You are the king of the earth, the king of the universe. The earth is your footstool. The works of Satan are defeated under you. We declare your excellencies. We declare your morality. We declare your perfections and your righteousness and your glory and your honor and your power and your riches and your wealth. We, Lord, it all belongs to you. We glorify you. You are holy. You are righteous. You are just. You are the righteous judge because you are totally perfect, complete, not lacking in anything. You don't need anyone or anything to fill you or to complete you. You are completely complete. It's in you, Lord, that we find our hope and our rest. Forgive us, Lord, for how at times we fail to acknowledge your holiness, or how at times we may feel like we make our prayers about you, or about ourselves, but not about you. Help us, Lord, in our prayer lives, in our daily walk with you, to declare your excellencies, to declare who you are. Thank you, Father, Son, and Spirit, for your holiness, your righteousness, your excellence, your power, your might, that you are truly the righteous, all-powerful Savior and King of the world. And it's to you and to you only we bow our knee. We pray these things in the awesome name of Jesus. I just want to just continue to echo the things of what people have been proclaiming and talking. And if you feel the need, like if you're a private person and you just need to confess sin, you need to confess maybe like you're angry with God. Maybe there's some things that you don't like about yourself. One thing that came to my mind was sometimes I hate my personality. And I've had to pray that honest prayer with God. Like, Lord, I hate my personality sometimes. I feel like I'm too laid back. I'm too easygoing. I'm not assertive enough. I'm not tough enough. I'm not, you know, I hate confrontation. I hate my personality, God. Why did you give me my personality and then give me the jobs and ministries to do with this personality? Confess that to the Lord. Be open. Be honest. You can freely come and talk to your Savior. He wants you and only you. If you haven't received Jesus as your Savior, now is the day of salvation. The sins that you have been transferred onto him. The Heavenly Father punished his Son as if he were the sins that you've committed. He did it for you, so you can have eternal life with him, so you can live a life of repentance without that sin guilt. Come and receive Jesus as your Savior.